Hi, good morning. Welcome to our talk today. I just absolutely love that song, Can't Stop Your Love, Where Can I Go From Here? I'm surrounded, I will not walk alone. It tells of an amazing love, of God's love. When I first used to sing it though, I thought it was talking about someone trying to run away from God's presence. It's not that at all. It's singing of the great love that God has for us all. Anywhere and everywhere that we go, He will be with us. That's an amazing thought. Whatever we face, He will be with us. Wherever we're battling, He's there. If we've got overwhelming joy, He's still there. He's right there beside us because of His unconditioned love. His love is so great for us, and it hasn't changed right from the beginning of creation. And as we read the Bible, we know that it doesn't change right up to Revelations. God has a plan for us right from the beginning of time. From Adam and Eve, from their disobedience in the Garden of Eden, to walking with Moses and the Israelites, to Jesus coming, dwelling among us, and His ascension into heaven. His plan still continues with Holy Spirit dwelling in us and open access to Father in heaven. And as we see, it still continues in Revelations, right up to Revelations 21, 1 to 5, the new heaven and earth. You can turn to your Bibles. I'm assuming you all have your Bibles with you right now. We're in Revelations 21, 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And then I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people. And the God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And He said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Now, I was overwhelmed this week as I read verse 2. Because God comes down to us, down out of heaven. And I think I've always known or hoped that one day I will go to heaven, and that is when my time here on earth is finished. But in verse 2, we're reading about the end times, when God decides it's finished. And here we're not going. God is coming. He is bringing a new heaven with Him. I'm sure we've all heard this before, but this time when I read it, it was as though I'd read it for the first time. And I'd like to just travel through Revelations 21, 1 to 5 a little bit with you today, and see what effect that has on our lives now. One thing that I've read was that He's bringing the new heaven, that's God, bringing the new heaven as a gift. It's a gift that we're not earning it. It's something that God is wanting to give us, but waiting for the right time. Often we see things in the shops, and they're beautiful. There might be pieces of artwork that we haven't seen before, that someone's taken time and effort over to create. Or we see those toys for our children or our grandchildren and we want to buy them. So we buy them, we put them away, we store them for later on. It's a gift that we've already got ready for the future. But it's not the right time for them to have it. We've already purchased it, just as God has already purchased and paid the price for us to be with Him right now. Part of that gift we've received now, in the free access to Him by Christ dying and His resurrection. But part of it is not ready for us yet. Only God knows the time for that. Only God knows when it's time for us to spend eternity with Him. But God's plan has always been to dwell with us as He walked with Adam and in the cool of the day, taking us right back to what He meant for us in the first place. Spurgeon said, "I do not think the glory of Eden lay in grassy walks or in boughs of bending with luscious fruit, But its glory lay in that the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Here, Adam's highest privilege was that he had companionship with the Most High. And that is our highest privilege today, that we should walk with the Lord every day, just as he planned right from the beginning. It is also a privilege to know, because of the Bible, that we will enter into the new heaven with the Lord and spend eternity with him. I don't think it's something that we should be taken for granted, though. And as I said before, it's a gift, and we have to be ready to receive that gift. God does his part. In Revelations 21:2, he comes down as a bride adorned for her husband, ready as for her bridegroom. We remember our wedding days with love. We remember all the months beforehand, all the stress, all the joy of trying to get ready. What colours shall we wear? What colours will the flowers be? Is the bridegroom's okay? Is everybody all right? We worry and we panic and we make things right for our husband for the day and for ourselves for the day. All the small details are looked at and checked. And now God is coming as that bride. He's taken and is taking the time right now to get to know us and guide us and lead us into the deeper relationship with him, an understanding of him, ready for the day that he returns. It's an overwhelming thought that we get to spend eternity with him. That's not the end, and it shouldn't be our aim for this life. That's the new beginning. In Revelations 21:3, it says, I have heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. I love the word tabernacle. It's more than just a tent, more than just a place of safety, more than a place where only priests could enter into. It's a whole place of being, if that makes sense. It has always meant more to me than just a physical place. It builds up feelings of deep spiritual connection with God. Now, we all remember the tabernacle in Exodus 25:8-9. And that, you know, the one that God gave Moses and the Israelites instructions how to build. In that tabernacle, not everyone was invited. Only priests or Moses have access. But in verse 3, it also says, he will dwell among men. Now, the word dwell comes from the Greek word, and I'm going to try and pronounce this and then spell it for you, comes from the Greek word sekonsi, S-K-E-N-O-S-E-I. And that is related to the word skene, S-K-E-N-E, for tabernacle. But it's the same root, skenu, S-K-E-N-O-O, which describes God's dwelling place among men in John 1:14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the same as we spend eternity with God right at the end, we are also being invited right now to dwell with him. With the coming of Jesus and his ascension, everyone is invited to enter into the place with God, our own dwelling places. Now, Isaiah speaks of a tent that should not be folded and its stakes never being taken down, a permanent dwelling, residence. Isaiah 33:20 says, look on Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. Now, the tent or tabernacle or dwelling place that we build for God now, as we grow in our relationship with him, is most probably still movable, not like the one in Isaiah. Depends on our emotions, depends on how we feel in that day. We could be strong with great firm foundations, or we can falter just because God hasn't answered something that we're out waiting for, or because we haven't done our part and come into his presence as much as we should do that day. But the tent or the tabernacle in Revelations will not be movable. It will be permanent residence to reside with God. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be an exciting day. But I don't want it just yet. There's lots to do here on earth first. Revelations 21:4 tells us that the old ways have passed away. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And they will no longer be death. There will no longer be mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Then no more tears. I've read that God not only wipes away our tears, but the tears that we've caused for others. So when he wipes them away, we have no memory of them. We will be in eternity free from past and present tears and sorrows. But when we turn to God in this life, he can also wipe away our tears. When we confess them, for our tears from the past, as we confess and ask him into our lives, our tears right at that moment when we say, come, come Holy Spirit, come, we will find peace. Psalm 56:8 tells us how precious our tears are to him. It says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have received each one. You have recorded each one in your book. He says that there will be no more death. Even now we are promised eternal life. Yes, our body dies, but our spirit lives on, and we must be awakened. We must awaken it in this life through our relationship with God. So going back to what I said right at the beginning, what effect does knowing of a new heaven and earth have on our lives now? Should we be content and know to know where we're going, just sit around peacefully and wait? Should we run around declaring end times, telling everyone, you're doomed, you're doomed, come to Jesus now? No, I don't think so. I think both are quite extreme in different ways. And we still have a little further to go on our journey through Revelations. But we've already found out that God's plans are still the same. We are always meant to dwell with him, past, present and future. We know that when he is ready, he will bring down the new heaven and earth. It's not our decision. And in the meantime, we know that we are to represent him here on earth well. And as we learn to dwell daily with him in his presence, we can then co-labor with him and bring parts of heaven into other people's lives and glorify his name. We know from Isaiah 61:1-3, this was another one of our readings this week, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has already anointed us to bring good news, to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favourable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to give garlands instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So the effect of knowing that God is coming down to us to live as he is now, to walk daily with him, to welcome his spirit, bring his presence into others' lives, and to glorify his name. Now in verse 5, God is telling us, behold, I am making all things new. He is speaking from his throne. There's a great authority when he speaks from his throne. He speaks in the present tense. I am making, not I'm going to make. If it's present, then it's now. So we have a part to take in that. We are and always have been part of his eternal plan. Until we go to heaven, we have a privileged existence here on earth to live in relationship with him and bring him glory. Now the wise among you will realise that I've missed out verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. No longer any sea, no longer anything to separate us from God. In this passage, the sea is representing, I feel, separation from God, the enemy's tactics that draw our attention elsewhere, the troubles and distractions, with time issues and temptations. In the end, it will all be gone. But for now, as I said in the beginning, our God is a God who loves us deeply. He is also a God who comforts, heals and forgives, and much, much more. As Christians, we know that we can turn to him any time and he will come. In Exodus 14, God parts the seas for the Israelites. In Matthew 14, Jesus walks on water to get to his disciples. The seas are not an issue for our God. The seas in our lives are not an issue for our God. If you're listening to this and you don't know our God yet, then know that he came for you too and loves you deeply too. Know that he came in the living form of Jesus, walked upon this earth and died on a cross, rose again and ascended into heaven, and is now one true living God. And he wants a relationship with you today. And if you feel that you've got seas or oceans or just a little puddle that is stopping you and separating you from him, then please know that it is not true. Nothing can separate you from his love. I hope that this has just been a short reminder of God's eternal love for us all. So I think I'll just end with this, an invitation to know Jesus. So, if you already know him, that's an invitation to know him more. And if you haven't invited Jesus into your heart yet and would like to do so, then join us in this short prayer today, together. Just say after me. Let's close our eyes and pray. God, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart today. I want to know you more. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you've done that for the very first time, I welcome you and I bless your journey towards Jesus and to knowing God more in your life. Can I encourage you to go and tell somebody that you've already done it? And contact us at slough@riverchurch.org.uk. We'd like you to support you in your journey towards Jesus and getting to know him more. If you've done that as a rededication today, then I also bless your journey closer to Jesus. And I welcome you to get to know him more and pray joy on your journey. It's an amazing thing to speak to you guys each week, to wonder what to say or what to do. I just pray that this has blessed you and will move you closer to Jesus, remembering that what he says right at the beginning, he wants to dwell with us. He says now, I want to dwell with you. And in the future, when the time is right, he will say it again, and he's saying it again. Come dwell with me, and he will bring heaven down to earth. And I pray I will see you all there. God bless your week. Have an amazing time. Thank you for listening.